AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Are you scouring the web for the best Black Friday and Cyber Monday deals? Stop it! Get Rakuten. Rakuten is a shopping sidekick that gets you cash back on gifts for everyone on your list. Right now, you can get up to 15% cash back at the stores you love. You can even stack cash back on top of the biggest sales of the year. That's savings on savings. It's more time shopping and less time searching. With Rakuten, you're always saving at your favorite stores on the things you're already buying. Cash back is automatically added to your account as you shop, and you can get paid with gift cards, PayPal, or check. Or eligible American Express card members can even choose to earn membership rewards points instead of cash back. It's truly a no-brainer. Now's the time to join. Up to 15% cash back ends on 12/2. Plus, new members will receive a welcome bonus after minimum qualifying purchases. Just go to Rakuten.com, download the app, or install the browser extension. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to Voices of the Body, a podcast where we explore the intricate connection between mind, body, and spirit as we dive into the world of healing, advocacy, alchemy, and purpose. Our bodies are vessels of wisdom, carrying stories of our experiences, our joys, and our sorrows. Together, we'll uncover the power within ourselves and our communities to heal, to advocate, to transform, and to live with and on purpose. Join us on this journey of self-discovery and empowerment. Let's unlock the voices of our bodies. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Voices of the Body, the podcast. My name is Love Ashley Elaine, and I'm going to be your guide. Thank you for choosing me to be your guide as we journey through all things healing, all things the mind, body, and spirit. This particular episode, I'm breaking down the power and control wheel this month. Excuse me. I had a plan to do something different, but this felt more spirit-led to do, right? Last episode, I mentioned exposing the tactics of the enemy. And if we don't name it, we won't be able to see it, right? You can feel it and doubt yourself about what you're feeling, what you're sensing. But naming it does something different. So this episode, we're diving into recognizing emotional abuse and healing it within the body. So prepare your mind, body, and soul as we get deep into this episode. Hey y'all, listen, if you or someone you know is experiencing domestic violence, and as we've learned, it is not just physical abuse, it is coercion, it is emotional abuse, it is psychological abuse, financial abuse, spiritual abuse, go to www.thehotline.org. You can call the number 1-800-799-SAFE, that's S-A-F-E. Or you can text the word START, S-T-A-R-T, to the number 88788. When we help one, we help everybody. So don't be afraid to speak up. Hey, y'all. How's it going? So I wanted to first, right, talk about what emotional abuse looks like, right? I mentioned it in the last episode. I mentioned a lot in the last episode, I was very kind of strategic in what I shared in the last episode. This tool to really break down the power and control wheel is very important to me. I had thought about it before. It was in conversation before. But something is just like, no. A lot of people, well, so for me, right, I always feel like the best way to transmute pain, the best way to heal for me and how my makeup is to share, right? I'm always thinking about, at some point, I'm always thinking about like other people who may be experiencing what I'm experiencing, right? Once I get on to some other sound mind and body experience with what I'm experiencing or what I'm feeling, and thank God for the safe spaces of friends and certain family members that allow me to talk through it, right? That allow space for, well, we hold space for each other to talk through these things, to reaffirm ourselves, to name it, right? To hold ourselves accountable, all of those things. I always find it's easier to acknowledge what is happening once I name it. I've been told like to stop focusing on, you know, what it is. But for me, if I don't name it, then confusion sets in. And then I'm trying to define it without really knowing what the word or the behavior is, right? I'm like, if you know me, I'm a behavior person. Like I've worked in behavioral health. Just behaviors have meaning, not just for kids, but for adults. So I wanted to like, and quickly, right? Not quickly to gloss over, but just move through some very common ways that emotional abuse happens. One, because sometimes they happen to us and we don't know that it's happening. Two, if it's happened in childhood, 9 times out of 10, we don't recognize that it's abuse, right? That it's emotional abuse until it hits us in a different way in our adulthood, to where now the healing is prominent, right? Like we're being exposed to a different level of it. And three, like I said, if we don't name it, right? It's like girl code, right? It's like, ooh, girl, like this is how you make the best matcha latte with this kind of milk. And I'm going to give you a little secret on what to add into it to make it like help you, I don't know, like make your skin glow, right? It's exposing that secret within the emotional abuse. It's exposing what our abusers don't want us to know and don't want us to see as abuse. They want us to stay in this loving and nurturing space and keep giving and keep being submissive and keep being in this space of like being naive, right? And ignorant. But it's like, no, if I can share the gem, if I can share the experience, if I can share not just what I learn from like publications, not just what I learn in from like my therapist, not just what I learn from reading a book, but what it looked like in my personal life, right? It's always not just the education, but it's the experience that bring it all together, right? People want to know that people didn't just learn something in a textbook, especially when we're talking about healing from something that has the grand potential to bring us to death, and death of life while living and death of life like the final, right? I hate to be so blunt with that, but the reality of what domestic violence is that there's enough stories that we see on the news that end in death. And it's not to victim shame. It's not to say, oh, why didn't they see the signs? Sometimes it's harder to leave. Sometimes it's just harder to leave. There's no right or wrong to how a domestic violent relationship looks, how it happens, how that person leaves, how they stay, how long it is before they leave, how long it is that they stay. Like, there's no rhyme or reason to it, right? So there are there's five different emotional abusive behaviors that I wanted to share. And some of them meet each other in one way or another, but they're very prominent within themselves as well. So the first one is gaslighting. We've all heard this word. It's been floating all over social media. Well, my social media. I don't know about anybody else's, but we've all like heard it. And I think sometimes when we overhear something, we're not sure of what it is. And we just kind of like match it to our experience. So gaslighting, and I'm going to, in the show notes, there will be links to articles and websites that I've vetted that will have all of this information that I'm sharing as well. Like I said, I come from personal experience. I come from some professional experience with this, but most of my experience has been personal. So taking the personal, adding it with the professional, and adding it with my love for going down rabbit holes. Okay. So gaslighting is a form of psychological abuse or manipulation in which the abuser attempts to sow self-doubt and confusion in the victim's mind. Pause. So on a spiritual level, confusion is what the enemy wants us to be. Because if we're confused, we'll never make a decision. If we're confused, we'll never really tap fully into ourselves. If we're confused, we will miss completely what our purpose is, what our true assignments are, right? Confusion destabilizes us. It puts us in a position to not move, right? You think about that, the freeze part of fight or flight, right? It destabilizes us. It makes us constantly question and just like stay in our head over and over again to where, and personal experience, you don't get out of bed. And if you do, you don't know what to do with your day. So confusion makes you intentionally waste time. And then you look up and it's like, well, 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 I have been confused for a very long time about what I'm supposed to do, who I am, where I'm supposed to be, if this is where I'm supposed to be, is this the person I'm supposed to be with, but I love them. So why would they treat me this way? Are they treating me a certain way? They wouldn't treat me a certain way. Maybe it's just me. It starts making you go on this hamster wheel, right? Of just constant questioning, right? Constant misalignment with self, constant disconnection with truth of who you are, right? You hear me say it often, like the divine you, the version of you that God intended. God doesn't want us to be in confusion. That's not it, right? I believe there's going to be some in life when there's like decisions that have to be made. I don't think that's confusion. I think that's just my pastor's in a sermon series now where we're talking about wisdom, right? So a lot of that is floating in my head too, but it's like God doesn't want us to be confused. He wants us to know ourselves, recognize Him within us, and be able to live fruitfully from that place, live in the abundance. If we're confused and if we're in environments that constantly keep us confused, it's like two different forms of like metal and wood or something rubbing up against each other trying to connect. It's not going to happen, right? Something's going to brush wrong and it's not going to do what it needs to do. Neither is going to accomplish their goal. The only one accomplishing the goal is the abuser, which is meant to confuse you, right? Some strategies for recognizing gaslighting is pay attention to like your own self-doubt, right? Are you doubting your memory of something, right? This person is lying and you know clear as day, right? You know clear as day that this person is not telling the truth. Like you even have proof. You have like a gas receipt or a food receipt or a picture from that day, or you have a really good photographic memory, right? Which is a gift. I just hit something. Confusion also wants to take you out of your gifting, question your gifting, right? We have to remember we're here in spirit form. Everything is spiritual. Everything is spiritual, right? So that's a strategy. It's questioning your sanity. Am I crazy? I'm crazy, right? Am I losing my mind? Am I really hysterical? Am I emotional? Am I sensitive? Right? You start asking yourself if you are these things, right? You even stop having trust in yourself, which is the biggest, right? Which is that confusion, right? I don't trust my intuition. I don't trust the discernment. I don't trust what my body is telling me because what this person is telling me is better. Or I'm believing it, right? Another sign is starting to believe what the other person is saying to you when they use words like crazy, stupid, sensitive, and hysterical, right? Believing that you can't do anything right, and you begin to have self-talk, negative self-talk. Like now you're starting to beat yourself down. Now you're starting to tell yourself, like, I can't do anything right. I can't accomplish anything. I can't even wash dishes correctly. But it's like, how different did you wash them today than yesterday, right? So it's, and always feeling disappointed in who you have become, right? Allowing this, I don't know if it's a short period of time, but this time frame with this person that is your abuser to make you believe that you are a horrible person, right? This is the play on the power and control. It's to have power over you, control your thoughts, control your mood, control your work, control all of what you do, right? A lot of this also shows up in the workplace. We already see it play out in communities. We see it play out in political spaces. We see it play out in racism, right? It's Black people are always like one way, right? I'm just thinking about, oh my gosh, I was talking to somebody the other day, and it's like now that Kamala Harris is in the running to be president and she's a Black woman, now it's like, well, is she Black? And it's like, oh, so now we don't want to claim that she's Black because she's intelligent and she uses her power for good. That can be, while we're not, this isn't a political podcast, but it, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's now all of a sudden people are horrible, right? You're horrible. You don't like who you've become. You are now apologizing all the time for your actions, right? Guilty. I'm so guilty of that. I'm so guilty of that until I got around the right people that told me, that asked me, why do you apologize all the time? and then told me to stop apologizing. And then I'm saying I'm sorry after that, right? And I think sometimes we think saying that I apologize or saying I'm sorry is also like, I don't know, there's like this humble thing to it, when no, I'm not apologizing if I didn't do anything wrong, right? But we don't realize that we didn't do anything wrong. This person has allowed us to step into the ball of confusion to believe that because now we are a horrible person, now we don't like who we've become, now we're the problem, that everything is our fault. And then another one is walking on eggshells around the person or persons, right? And I put, I added persons because if you notice that you're walking around eggshells around certain people, 9 times out of 10, those certain people are probably, I'm not going to say 9 times out of 10. I don't want to give a percentage. I just want you to be able to feel into your body. Okay, I'm walking around eggshells around this person. I'm walking around eggshells around that person. I'm walking around eggshells around this other person, but I've always felt safe around this other person, right? Start listening to your body signals to understand why are you walking around eggshells around these 3 completely different people. And allow that to build your awareness into, okay, what are each of these people doing that are making me walk around on eggshells? Am I just afraid to be vulnerable with this person, right? Or is it this other person I'm walking around eggshells with because they're actually belittling me and I'm afraid to say anything, right? Another form of emotional abuse is isolation. Oof. Isolation tactics are forms of emotional abuse that include behaviors that restrict a person's contact with family, friends, and physically confine the person. It aims to undermine the victim's life and identity outside of that relationship, and fosters like a very deep sense of dependency. That is probably the most scariest thing ever, is to be isolated, right? There's moments where I'm like, ooh, it's me and you against the world, and it's like all cutesy and everything like that. But then it's like, oh, I want to go spend time with my friends. I want to go see my family. I want to hang out here. I want to hang out there. I want to call this person. I want to go to the movies. And it's like, no. Or, yeah, we could do that later. And later never comes. Or I remember this one time in a relationship, like, there was a new movie that came out. I love movies. There was a new movie that came out that I wanted to go see. And I'd asked my partner at the time. I was like, ooh, can we go see this? And they were like, yeah. I was like, cool. I was like, okay, so we can go on this day. I said, I have to do this on that day. And then when I get done with that, like we can get dressed and then we can go, blah, 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 blah. And I like hyped it up all week. Like this person was like, yeah, we can go. I was like, yes. It comes time, like the day for us to go to the movie that we planned to. And it was probably like 2-3 days later, right? And all of a sudden, an argument started. And I was just like, wait, what? What? Huh? What just happened? And it was like, so are we still going to the movies? And they were like, it just got completely dismissed. And then they just left the house. And I was just like, huh. And I don't know if I actually knew all of these different forms of things that were happening. I just know that these experiences were happening. And that they, after a while, after some years, right, the person started looking different, but the behavior started feeling the same and even got worse, right? So I've been in, unfortunately, a number of relationships that I can count on one hand where if I wasn't only spending time with that person, I couldn't spend time with anybody else. And if I wanted to spend time with myself, if I wanted to spend time with my son, if I wanted to spend time with my family, if I wanted to spend time with my friends, it was like, oh, well, you don't care about me. And it's like, that's not true either, right? That's not true either. There has to be a sense of self where, like, yes, we do things as a couple, but I also want to be able to do things by myself, right? I've always been a person that loves to do things by themselves. That can't be a problem in my future relationship, right? Like I love having my own identity, and it's dangerous to be with somebody that wants to stifle you, that doesn't want to allow you to go out with your friends, even if y'all go out with your friends together, right? But even if you want to go out with your friends by yourself, or go spend time for yourself, right? Or just have your own sense of identity. I mean, there were times where, like, I thought it was protection being told one morning leaving for work that my tire was, like, super flat, and I think I even, like, called out because this person was like, nah, like, I don't think you should go. Like, I'm really worried about this tire. And if, God forbid, if something happened to you, that's the manipulation, right? Using death. And if, oh my God, something happens to you, right? To keep you, to hold you, right? I'm like, now just thinking back, and it's like, I wish I knew what I know now then, but God, right? So it's like to keep you, and then not putting two and two together, later on we left the house, and I was just like, so it's like my tire wasn't good enough to get me to work, but it's good enough to get us to where you want to go. Okay, noted. So one thing about isolation is when you start drawing somebody away from their sense of self, and it's not that our sense of self is found in other people, it's we have met other people who allow us to be seen in our fullness and in our authenticity. We have met deepen relationship with family that keep us connected to our sense of self. So when we start being pulled away from that, that's when we start questioning who we are, right? Like, I mean, to the point where, like, sometimes it goes dark. It's like things go dark and you're just like, okay, I love this person, but is this it? Right? Like, is this it? Is this it? And you start missing those pieces of you that helped, that aligned with who your sense of self is, who you believe you are. So now this person has come in and made you believe otherwise, made you believe that they are all you need, that you don't need anybody else, that they are your family, that they are just everything for you, right? And even in marriage, I still don't believe that your partner, your spouse, is supposed to be your everything. I just still find that very unhealthy. Maybe it's me still needing healing work in the relationship department. I don't know. But for me, I just don't feel like my partner should be my everything, right? To the point where I lose my sense of self. I lose who God created me to be, right? There is a lot of evidence that shows that social isolation and loneliness significantly increase the risk of premature mortality, and the magnitude of the risk exceeds that of many leading health indicators. it's okay to be alone, but there gets to a point to where now, like, again, like I said it before, it becomes this death of life. Like, we're now not just we're not living, right? There's an article that I will post to go with that as well, to just give more insight on the health risk of isolation and what that does. I mean, the goal is to, like, literally break and beat you down so that you have to depend on this person. That is the literal reason for power and control. It's strip you of your power. It's slavery, right? Strip you of your power to think independently, feel independently, and produce independently without me, right? Don't have a thought that is, don't have a thought or create anything that is where I'm not going to be needed. Like, now you need me. I own you. All right. Another form is intimidation. That's pretty self-explanatory. But still, to put it out there, it's making you afraid, making you scared through body action, body postures and gestures and actions, looks, sounds, grunts, right? Breaking things, smashing things, punching holes in walls, breaking electronic devices, throwing things at you, smacking things out your hand, destroying your property, abusing your pet, right? Kids get used in this, right? Displaying weapons, making sure that you see it, right? It's like, I just want you to know that this is here, right? Which is probably the most, like, filthiest and evilest, that's not even a word, form of intimidation, is when weapons now get involved, right? Another form is belittling, the name calling, right? Talking about your weight. I remember when I was pregnant with Jez, I was told that if I didn't lose weight and kept all my baby weight, that I wasn't going to be wanted anymore. Screw you, buddy. I am still a 10 with the baby weight. But it's like things like that, right? Your weight being talked about, your hair being talked about, like constantly being criticized for how you look, for how you dress, for how you, your weight, maybe even your skin tone, right? I don't think, so a thought that pops in my head, and I mean, I think this could just be me being human, is, if you don't like how I look, then why do you want to be with me? Right? I had a partner one time before tell me they only wanted to date light-skinned girls. And when we went out, they would be, like, super, like, disrespectful in front of me, talking to other women who were light-skinned. And if you don't know what I look like, I'm dark-skinned. And it's like, I asked them one time, I was like, if you see yourself with a light skinned woman, I said, then why are you with me? Right. And it's like, oh, well, you know, my mom is dark skinned. So yeah, it was like, but that doesn't mean anything. Right. My family is dark skinned and I keep ending up with light skinned dudes. Right. That's probably about to change. But it's, you know, it's, I don't think there's any rhyme or reason to how a person is, like how an abuser picks their people. I think they're just mean, right? There's something within their own childhood, maybe something that they haven't healed. And they project it all over everybody else. Like, it's literally vomiting up hate towards everybody else. And it just so happens to be women, right? blame shifting is number five. This is a tactic that is so often used, right? Like, it's to not take on responsibility of the hate that they're spewing, the lies that they're telling, the healing that they need to do, the wounds that other people inflicted on them that they don't want to touch and be honest about, their own lack of emotional security, right? It's, well, now it's your fault, right? I'm like, the reason why I'm hurting you is because of you, or the reason why this is going the way it is because of you, right? So it literally, that literally circles back to the gaslighting, right? It circles back to hurting the other person and making them feel less than who they are, okay? So what I really want to focus on is the healing part, right? Like I said, I wanted to just bring light to these tactics and bring examples, some real life examples for myself, just so that there's context, just so that you yourself can be like, wait a minute, that sounds familiar. This feels familiar, right? Because if we don't expose it, it will stay hidden. Right? It will stay under the rug. It will never get swept from under the rug and dealt with and put in its rightful place. Okay? But move with ease. Be gentle with yourself, right? This is before we get into the healing part. Well, this is part of the healing part. But if any of those tactics are starting to resonate with you in your life, take a moment before you respond. Take a moment before you respond and find a trusted friend, a trusted family member, a trusted professional, someone that you can be like, hey, so I'm starting to awaken to something and I need your help to see it. I need your help to realize it. I need your help to describe it. I just need your help, right? That is part of the first part of the plan to understanding what is happening and what needs to be done next, right? Take a moment and check in with self and then go to a trusted person, friend, family, or professional to really dive deeper into those behaviors, right? So the healing portion of like healing through emotional abuse, right? And it's not an overnight thing, let me just say. It's quite the process. The biggest thing that helps is that mind-body connection. Surprise. Coming into, I don't like the word mindfulness, but for worldly sakes, coming back to your foundation of who you are, right? Coming back to your sense of self, your mind, and meditating, right? What meditation does is it shows you where your thoughts are. You become the observer of what is happening internally with you. So even if you just start for like 5 minutes and start paying attention to what you're thinking about, right? It's watching your thoughts, letting them pass without judgment, and start replacing it with a positive thought, right? It could be as simple as, I am a good person. Right? It can be you visualizing a good thing, right? Maybe your child, maybe that last time you and your friends went out and had a really good time. Maybe it's the last time you felt good about yourself, right? Because the body also remembers these things, right? If the body can remember our painful experiences, the body can also remember our joyful experiences, right? It just makes you more aware of the thoughts and the feelings and the connection within the body. Meditation also reduces stress, y'all, right? It reduces that amount of worry that works up in the body. So when we give ourselves that space, maybe it's 5 minutes, right, to just check in with ourselves, to just be present in this present moment with ourselves. That 5 minutes can then build into 7 minutes. That 7 minutes can build into 12 minutes. That 12 minutes can then build into 15 minutes. And now you've created not a practice, but a lifestyle of teaching you and reframing how your body embodies stress and these things that are being said to you. And then you start to reject these things a lot easier, right? Breath work. Ooh, breath work. Breath work, breath work, breath work. I love breath work. I've been adding it in to my practice a little bit more intentionally. It helps reconnect us and filter out the gook, right? What's in now comes out, and we're clearing out the body through breath work. Yoga, right? So again, yoga isn't just the asanas that we see in these beautiful pictures. It's not just these movements. It's also moving through like cleanliness, moving through are we reading scripture? Are we reading things that are empowering us? Are we keeping ourselves in a posture of a student to learn the body, the wisdom that is held in our body and other knowledge that we can gain to help better ourselves and promote wellness in our lives? Body scans. Body scans are magic. I love body scans. Body scans are you're laying down and someone is kind of like telling you to just bring awareness to all the different parts of your body. And what happens is you start releasing tension. You start to let go. And something powerful happens when we start letting go of the tense tightening in our body and allow things to move and come to the surface the way they need to, right? Regular exercise period just does wonders for the body, right? Going for a walk maybe 3 times a week. Maybe you go to the gym. Maybe you get into a boxing class. Maybe you go swimming. Just something that keeps your body moving. Why? Because movement moves energy. So whatever your abuser has tried to instill in you is energy, right? It's all vibration. It's all energy. And if we don't move our body in some way, shape, or form, it just sits there. And now we're embodying it one way or another, right? So if you pay attention to certain emotions that come up in your body will move into a certain gesture, right? Maybe sadness for you looks like your head is always hanging down, right? Which is like a sign of defeat. Maybe sadness could also look like for certain people, like the shoulders start to roll in, right? Closing off that heart space, not keeping yourself open, right? Your diet, what are you eating, right? How are you nourishing yourself? How are you taking care of yourself, right? And this isn't about losing weight, right? The regular exercising and dieting, it's about the emotional weight, right? That stuff will always come off first before the physical weight, because 9 times out of 10, the physical weight is because of the emotional weight, right? And then how much are you sleeping? Are you sleeping at night, right? I mean, some of us, our sleep is like swimming in the Olympics, right? We're backstroking and all kinds of stuff these days. But like, are you giving yourself permission to rest? Right, when we're healing from traumatic experiences, and again, trauma is when events happen super fast and often, right? Takes us out and away from our true divine self. We have to rest. Healing requires a lot of rest, because your body is now starting to reprogram itself. It's starting to move away from what it has been exposed to, into even shifting into something better than who you even thought you were before the experience, right? Seeking professional support. So like I said, therapy. I know people are not very keen on therapy sometimes. I think the culture is moving towards therapy a lot more. I love it. I love to see it. It never hurts to get a person that doesn't know you, doesn't know your situation, but is trained to get to the root, to help you get to the root. It never hurts to talk to a person that way. I actually prefer to talk to people I don't know, because I want to make sure that they're like, the people that I do know aren't just gassing me up. And that could still be me, like, you know, moving through trust factors sometimes. But then it's like, when I get to my therapist, it's easy for me to just be completely vulnerable, right? But I'm also a very vulnerable person. And yeah, it just comes easy for me. It's not always easy for people to talk about their feelings and what they're going through. So pace yourself there. Also, side note, do not trauma dump on your friends and your family, right? I'm sure they love you and they want to hold space for you, but also be mindful of how much you dump on them emotionally also. Because one, they might not be able to really understand the ins and outs of what you're dealing with, and they probably recognize that, or unsure of what that is supposed to look like or what to say, all of those things. Two, what you're experiencing or what you have experienced is probably also weighing on them as well, right? So they don't know how to respond. They are not therapists. They're just as confused and may not understand what abuse is, right? And three, just be aware of like how much you release, right? And it's not to say, again, that you shouldn't talk to these people about it, but there's going to come a point where they can only hold so much space for you, and you don't want that to become now a space where you feel like you can't trust your friends or family anymore, because one day they're saying, hey, you know what, I don't have the capacity, or they don't know how to say that in certain language, and now it's time for you to move into more professional support, or like a support group, to where it is, that space is intentionally catered to deal with what it is that you're dealing with, right? So there's mindfulness in how much we dump on our friends and family as well, right? Is it every single time something happens, we're running to them, right? And I had to learn this also, because it's a lot. It is 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 a lot for you. It is a lot for the people that love you. It is a lot for everybody involved, right? So this is where a professional could be very helpful in helping you navigate the allotness. That's not a word, but it is today, folks. I mentioned support groups. Get with your doctor, right? We should have PCPs. We're all adults here. Check in with your doctor. I have to say my doctor has been lovely in holding space for me to talk to her about current and past experiences, right? Because she also recognizes what trauma with what abuse does to the body in terms of our physical health and medical records and charts and all of the like the medical side of what abuse does to you, right? And I don't think we think about that either, is the toll that it takes on your actual health, right? It can stop you from wanting to eat. It can make you overeat. It can make you crave sweets all the time. It can make you crave sugars all the time. It can make you start eating things that you never thought you would, right? You, like the body starts shifting into different things. It could develop medical conditions that you didn't have before. It can, it like it's a literal, excuse my mouth, life fuck. Like it wants to ruin your whole entire being, right? One of the articles that I'm sharing will also talk about how isolation, I believe it was isolation and blame shifting, belittling, like emotional abuse has also made people have suicidal ideations, right? Emotional abuse can make you have suicidal ideations. That's how deep it goes for the mind. You start to have suicidal ideations, wondering if it's just better for you to just not be here. Trying to escape this pain some other way, trying to find validation through just not existing. It is a literal death sentence if you allow it. The emotional abuse, I don't know how people are going to take this. And I had this thought one time before that I'd rather somebody slap me every single day than to harm me emotionally. Because that's connected to the soul. That's connected to my mind, right? I can recover the body. Well, as long as it doesn't go past the slapping. But it, like, I hope this is making sense. Like this, I don't want to be living and not live. I don't want to be living and not live, right? Have at it as you will. And then self-care, getting back to your hobbies, your interests, engaging in those activities that feel good. They might feel different, right? Let's just be honest. They might feel different. So how can you find a way to reinvent that, right? Spending time in nature, journaling, setting boundaries. Go to the beach. Go to the park. Go to a museum. Go to places that connect with earth, that connect with creativity, that are vibrant, that are colorful, right? And maybe, I don't know, to each his own, right? Get back into things where your eyes will allow you to see more color, more texture, more smiles, more brightness, more joy, just things that feel like more goodness, right? Bringing color back into your life. I just remember a time where I felt like my internal eye could only see black and white. And that's how I knew something was not right. Like I could only see black and white internally, and I knew something was not right. And the last one, practice self-compassion. Please, 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 please be very, very gentle with yourself, which is probably the hardest of them all. We don't give ourselves grace. We don't allow ourselves to move through the process. We don't allow ourselves to rest, right? Which allowing ourselves to rest is giving ourselves compassion, is showing ourselves love, is a form of, is an act of kindness towards self and a form of self-care. It's also our birthright. Rest is your birthright. So practicing compassion with ourselves is powerful, right? Reminding yourself that you have experienced something so debilitating and so out of alignment that it is okay if today all you did was brush your teeth. It is okay that if today all you did was shower. It is okay if today all you did was turn the TV on. It is okay if all you did today was walk to the mailbox, get the mail, and come back in the house. It is okay. It is okay if all you did was get a cup of coffee and get back in the bed. Right? It is okay. Because once we start honoring that space, then all of these other spaces we can start to move into. For the record, I am not a therapist. This is all life experience. This is all my love for research and making sure that I speak to things from a professional lens as well, giving resources, giving, well, from an advocacy lens, giving resources, giving sites, giving, like, I'm never going to just spew out numbers and not have the backing for it. But there will be articles that speak to these things. I just know what has worked, what has helped me in my own life. I just know what my experiences have been in my own life. And again, I believe I am here to transmute and alchemize and teach others how to do the same and to bring people back to their God-given divinity of who they were soulfully created to be. So if that means I have to have like some letters behind my name to do it, which I don't believe, so be it. And I have a lot of friends that are therapists who have affirmed me and also do this work. So have at it as you will. But yeah, just I think the biggest thing of all is pace yourself in recognizing these signs and in behaviors and find those trusted people and talk to them. Find that therapist and talk to them. Be compassionate with yourself, right? I think setting boundaries it will be hard in the beginning because you don't know exactly what the boundary needs to be just yet. And once you start having the conversations with trusted family and friends and professionals about what is happening, then I think it will become more clear. I believe it will be more clear for you to be able to set boundaries. Or maybe you've set boundaries and they just keep being disrespected, right? They keep being walked all over. They keep not being seen. Still find those trusted people, still find that professional to help walk you through it. Okay. Nice big inhale and exhale. One more time. Nice big inhale and exhale. Last one. Nice big inhale and exhale. I hope and I pray that this episode has awakened a voice within your body that will allow you to see things more clear, see things through the fog and confusion, and begin to open up the body to receive what needs to happen next, right? That still small voice within our body, that discerning voice, that intuition that we were gifted with. I pray that this has opened you up to hear that voice a little bit more clear and to help you move through safety and security with self and reaffirm yourself. Trust yourself. That way you can invite back in those trusted people that will love you unconditionally and honor the emotions and vulnerability within you. I love you all for free. Until next time.
Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.